Let me invite you to open your Bibles this morning to two passages, an Old Testament passage and a New Testament passage. If you'll open to the New Testament passage of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're finishing up our little short three-week series on faith this morning. Next Sunday, Steve Martin will be here, and I will be preaching at Union Hill. So we want to look one last time at the topic of faith, Hebrews 11, the New Testament passage. And the Old Testament passage is Daniel chapter 10, if you'll turn to Daniel chapter 10. And while you're turning to that Old Testament passage of Daniel 10, let me just draw your attention to a couple of those that have been honored this past week. Jenny Davison, for her leadership. There's a mention of her in the bulletin, and also Dwight and Carrie Samuel, who as a couple were honored by Crowley's Ridge College as alumni of the year. So we're very proud of these individuals. There are really two levels of faith, and we read about them here in Hebrews chapter 11. There is that faith that says, I believe that something I can't see exists. We all believe that love exists. We've just celebrated Valentine's Day. You can't see it or touch it, but you've experienced it. You know what love is. We cannot see God. We cannot see Jesus. We weren't among those who walked with Him. Jesus pronounced a blessing upon those who, having not seen, yet have believed. So there is that belief in a God, a belief that Jesus was on this earth. But that there's a second level of faith that's the deeper level of faith that says, not only do I believe that God exists, I will place my trust in Him. I will lean on Him. I will obey Him. That's the level of faith that James will later talk about that carries with it an obedient response or works, as James refers to that. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, let's read again that familiar passage beginning in verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You can be assured of things that you can't see or touch or taste. Now he goes on in verse 6 and again talks about the importance of faith and takes it to the next level. And without faith, the Hebrew writer says, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to Him must believe, first of all, that He exists. That's the first level of faith. And secondly, that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. It's that earnestly seeking Him, that next level where we place our trust, where we are obedient to Him, that culminates in saving faith. Now, you may not know this, but it's just as important that you believe in the devil, but only at the first level. We need to believe in the devil. He's more than just a mythological figure, some fellow that's dressed up in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. It's important that we understand who our enemy is, that we believe in the reality of Satan, not that we trust in him, and certainly not that we obey him. But it's important that we acknowledge the reality of the devil. Even the demons, we're told in James chapter 2, verse 19, they believe in God. It says they believe and they tremble, but they do not earnestly seek Him. They do not obediently follow Him. They believe, they have faith in Him. And so we as Christians need to have that same level of faith in the devil. We need to believe in him, and we ought to have the very same response. We ought to tremble, knowing the reality of Satan. I want to go back to the Old Testament now. Flip back over to Daniel chapter 10. This is the part of Daniel that we rarely study in our classes that I rarely preach on. Usually we love the narrative section of Daniel, and we love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we love Daniel in the lion's den. But in the latter part of the book, Daniel is given three visions, and he is allowed to see the future and the empires that are going to be following one after the other, and the one in which the Son of God will come. And here in this third vision in chapter 10, Daniel is allowed to see behind the scenes. And he's allowed to get a glimpse, only a glimpse, of the warfare that goes on in the unseen world. The warfare between good and evil, between angelic beings and demonic beings. And so I want to read the whole chapter 10, and I want to read it through fairly quickly, but follow along with me in this. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel. His other name was Belshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. I used no lotion at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, and my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Now, for the first time, he's going to have a revelation about some of the behind-the-scenes warfare that takes place, I believe, every day in all of human history, between good and evil. This figure, this man, this celestial being who appeared to David goes on to say in verse 12, he continues, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. Now this ought to be an encouragement to every one of us. When we humbly beseech God, when we set our minds and hearts to gain understanding through our study of the Word, we can be assured that God will be faithful to us in the same way He was faithful to Daniel. He hears us, and He responds to such an approach to God. He says, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. I have come in response to them. But he was delayed because, in verse 13, he says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. The Jews were in captivity in Babylon, and so this messenger comes to reveal to him. He was detained in coming to Daniel because there was some kind of a battle. Michael comes to the rescue, helps free up the situation. Verse 15, Daniel says, while he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face to the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man, this celestial being, touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord. I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed, he said. Peace. Be strong now. Be strong. And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. And I said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. So he said, do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him. Mysterious messages. Something's going on in the realm of the unseen. And Daniel is told just a brief bit about this unseen battle that's taking place. The one who comes to him gives him assurance that in the end, your people will gain victory. In the end, your people, and he goes on in the rest of the book, affirms the truth that God's people will return from bondage in Babylon. They will be restored to Jerusalem. And, of course, we know the end of that story and how Nehemiah came back and they rebuilt the temple and rebuilt the city walls. And so all these things were carried out, just as was said. Now, this one angelic being that's mentioned by name is given the name of Michael. And we read about Michael. He's one of God's angels, and he appears again. Incidentally, did you know that there are only two angels that are ever given names in the Bible that we know of? Michael and Gabriel are two angels that are mentioned that are with God and that do God's bidding. Michael is mentioned in Jude, verse 9. It says there, but even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So here's Michael involved in a much later incident that's referred to in the book of Jude over the body of Moses. I don't know what that's about. I don't know what kind of dispute that was. We know God buried Moses on the mountain. Somehow, Satan was involved. Michael got involved. And Michael rebuked that demonic spirit and said, the Lord rebuke you. So the archangel of God's mentioned in Jude 9. He's mentioned again in Revelation 12, verse 7. It says, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. So this passage speaks of sometime in the ancient past when, again, there was another warfare, a warfare that resulted in Satan and his angels being cast down from heaven. So there's been a warfare. We get glimpses of it periodically. Daniel got a glimpse of it as the kingdoms were ushering in the coming Messiah, as the Persian kingdom gave way to the coming of Alexander the Great and the Greek kingdom, which fell then to the Roman kingdom, in which God's Son would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. I think we can safely assume that what went on from the beginning of time, what went on in Daniel's time, what went on over the body of Moses, is still going on today. That there is still a battle. We read about the ranks of angels. Michael's the archangel. Gabriel appears to be a messenger angel. He's the one who came with the news to Mary and to Joseph about the birth of their child. The Hebrew writer affirms the ongoing activity of angels in our day. Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? They were serving Daniel in his day. They're serving Christians in our day. Paul talks about the dark side of the unseen world. In Hebrews 6:12, he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul says, be on guard. You're in a battle that you don't even see, in a world above you, in the unseen. Jesus' words regarding those who belong to the kingdom, recorded in Matthew 18:10, he says, see to it that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. There is a protection for those who belong to God. Going on, even that we are not always aware of. It's interesting that Michael here in Daniel chapter 10, in the very last verse of 10, is designated as Daniel's prince. Maybe that was Daniel's special angel that watched over him in a significant way. Did you know that demons are involved in things that happen in our world? Did you know that false doctrine, you know, we warn against, teach against, try to avoid false doctrine. There's a lot of false doctrine out there being taught as something that comes from God when it's really not. Did you know that the origin of false doctrine is demonic in nature? Paul warned Timothy in Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." Demons want to sidetrack Christians. They want to get us off chasing rabbits and off involved in doctrines that have no basis in the Word of God. What Daniel was made aware of, we need to be made aware of as Christians today. Now, you can't see it, but there is an entire world of microscopic creatures right here in this auditorium. Now, it's not because the Strigics don't do a good job cleaning. That's not what I'm talking about. In fact, these microscopic creatures came in with this crowd this morning. They live in your bedding, and they live in your clothing. And if we got a microscope that was powerful enough this morning, we could see these little creatures that are all over every one of you this morning. They feed off your skin as it flakes off. There are little microscopic creatures that live all over you. They're in your clothing. They're in your hair. In fact, this morning, as we all sit quietly in our pews, there is an unseen party going on with all these microscopic creatures. Now, don't start scratching. There is a world that's unseen. Microscopically, there are radio waves, another whole unseen world in this auditorium. But this room is also inhabited by unseen beings of a supernatural sort. Angels and demons. They're here with us. Did you know that demons come to church? In fact, they do some of their best work in church. Have you never been distracted in the middle of a worship service by some ungodly, unholy thought that Satan places in your mind? Demons will attack us at the most inappropriate times in order to pull us away from the worship of the only one who's worthy of worship. No, like Daniel, we are involved in a supernatural battle for the soul. Now, you may think you have a problem keeping your mind pure and not allowing your mind to be distracted by immoral thoughts. Well, that is a battle, but it's more than just that battle. It is a battle for your very soul. It is a spiritual siege that's taking place. And some of you are frustrated in your struggle with sin and your inability to leave liquor alone or tobacco alone or pornography alone or food alone. But let me tell you, it's more than that. It's a battle over where you're going to spend eternity. Satan will use these things to destroy us and distract us and take us away from God. Listen again to what Paul says. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I don't have to worry about what man can do to me. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Satan is attacking us every day. He's involved in things we can't even see, and he's using live ammunition. We're at war. The thing that is so dangerous about Satan and his demons is that they are subtle. They're unseen. They come to us in disguise. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 11:14 and said, "Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. They don't appear in their true likeness. They can come to us in sheep's clothing and deceive us if we're not careful. And that's why we're warned to test the spirits to see if they're from God. Don't trust what I say. Don't trust what any preacher says. Go to the Word. See if what's being said lines up with what has already been revealed by God. Daniel was told that the unseen hosts of heaven were involved in a battle with demons over earthly rule, kingdoms that were rising and falling. Michael was going to battle with the demons that were somehow involved in the Persian Empire. Later, they would be involved in a battle with the demons involved in the Greek Empire. Did you know that one of Satan's favorite places to be involved is in empires and governments of nations? The ultimate aim of Satan and his demons is to create a society in which the knowledge of God is stamped out. Now, it's true. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we see our government trending in a direction that is shocking at times to us as Christians. That is Satan's goal. It's always been his goal. Do you think it was an accident that Rome tried to stamp out Christianity? That was no accident. That was Satan's involvement in that kingdom. You think it was an accident in Nazi Germany that the Holocaust occurred and that even Christianity was tried, Hitler tried to stamp out all of Christianity? That was no accident. That was a tool of Satan. And it was no accident that godless communism was not content to rule in one part of the world but tried to take over the entire globe. And it's no accident today that we are engaged in a war of terror where our enemy regards us as Christians as infidels, only to be destroyed. Satan's aim is to destroy all the people of God. We're involved in a celestial, unseen battle. And Satan will use world leaders, and he'll use nations, and he'll use his demons, and he'll send them into your very living rooms to destroy your children and your marriage. And take God out of your very life. No, we can't allow him to win. Daniel was given a glimpse into the future. And Daniel was reassured by this vision. I'm not sure who this personage was. Some believe it was a pre-incarnate form of Jesus. Others believe it was maybe Gabriel or one of the other angels. I don't know. But the message was that God is going to safely see your people through whatever happens. And God's people will in the end be taken home in victory to be with God. You read the book of Revelation and the story ends. God wins the battle ultimately and God's people are taken home to be with Him forever in victory. We win ultimately. However bleak it looks in our world. And let's not be people that are always moaning and groaning about how horrible it is and how gloomy our future is and we're about to go off the deep end as a nation. I mean, this is something that has happened forever. And it'll continue happening forever as long as there are governments on this earth. But we live in a world where Jesus Christ is victorious. And whatever happens, we have been given the victory. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." That word stand is used repeatedly, and the Greek word for stand literally means hold your ground. We're not commanded to move forward into enemy territory, but simply to stand firm. And I love the implication of that, because the implication is that God has already gained the victory. The territory already belongs to God. Jesus is the one who fought the offensive battle against Satan, who defeated him. He conquered the enemy's territory. Our job is simply to defend what Jesus has already won. Stand strong. All those pieces of armor are almost all defensive pieces of armor. Paul would later write in Romans 8:37, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Now, let's be aware of it. In our faith, let's believe that God exists. Let's believe that Satan exists. But at the second level of faith, let's put our trust in the one who has already gained the victory and ultimately will give us that victory one day in heaven. This morning, if you are a Christian, then you can say with absolute confidence, I am on the Lord's side. If you're not a Christian, then for now you've already made a choice that you are on the devil's side. Jesus talked about faith, and he talked about coming to faith. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you've never taken that step to publicly declare that you are on the Lord's side, there is no better time than right now to take that step of faith. And you can leave here today having affirmed that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that you intend to live your life for Him in obedience. If you're here this morning and Satan has got the best of you in some areas of your life, if you're discouraged and you're beat down, let us pray for you so that you can leave here strengthened and more determined than ever to fight the battle against Satan. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.